Tatsva, you have rocked my world. I'm not sure whose world it is, but it has been shaken to the core through a series of giant earth tremors. I'm experiencing moments of much longed for expansion, connection and tenderness. I'm also experiencing moments of seemingly overwhelming fear triggered by these deep eruptions of energy. I have even experienced this in your presence. I sense you are providing the support to allow these old deep energies to surface, and I long to dissolve the separation that the fear creates between me and you, between me and life. I am aware both of the gratitude for this release, but also for the past identified with the fear. This appears to be where I am in these last days. What to do, beloved Swaha, with love, Satya? Where is Satya? And how are you this morning?
Calm.
Very calm, no?
Yeah. A lot of sensations, but so calm.
You know, after the earthquake, how is it then? After the eruption? It's more quiet than ever. You have the tremors, you have the build-up, then you have to let it erupt. That eruption is out of control. That is your fear. You have to let go of your control. And only the mind wants to be in control. So as long as you are afraid of losing control, then there will be fear. When the earthquake happens, when the eruption happens, then where's the fear then? It's gone. It's blown out. Then it's not in your hands, it's happening. So you have to allow something bigger than you to happen. And when that eruption has happened, then you know the bliss, the silence, the peace that comes after the eruption, after the fear. That's what the Master is helping you to let go into that. So you can let go of your fear. In spite of your fear, the fear might be there, but you have something else. And that something else is the love, is the connection. Because the more fear, the less love. Only fear, no love. And on the other side, only love, no fear. Then you have the whole spectrum in between. So the whole journey, in one way, is from fear to love. Fear is the condensed ego, the condensed identification with the mind, with your whole story. And love, like they say, love is God, God is love. So you could use that, the fear is the darkness, the love is the light, no? So changing, slowly, slowly, but this can't happen, you have to support it. Because the old will go. How does the mountain look after the eruption? It's not like it was before. The whole top is blown off. That's what I want. I want to blow your heads off. When the top of the mountain is gone, that eruption, that let go, that fear, then there is peace. much deeper peace than it was before. Then it is a relief. Then no head, only heart. Heart, then there is no fear. Not the emotional heart. That's what most people, when I say heart, they think about the heart they know. It's just an emotional heart. That is just the deeper level of the mind. No, the silent heart, the cave of the heart, the wisdom heart, where there is peace, is your own self. That's what I mean when I talk about the heart. You have rocked my world. Yes, I have to. And you say, I'm not sure whose world it is. It is your world, but you don't know who you are, so you don't know whose world it is. And how can you rock the world? It's impossible to rock the real. It can only be rocked because it's yours. It's a tiny world. It's very easy to rock it. If you find something that is steady, the real world, it's impossible to rock it, no matter what. So, the master always have to go on rocking and rocking and rocking as long as there is something to rock. That is just out of the compassion. If you can be rocked, it means you are not steady. So he has to test you till you become steady. If this is understood, that is what surrender is. Thy will be done. But one thing is to just hear it, another thing is to live it. You trust something, you love something that is higher than you. A higher consciousness as such. Huh? So then you have to rise. You have to go beyond your limitations. You have rocked my world. That's how it is. Truth will always rock the lies. One way is to try to protect the lies, and the other way is to get more intimate with truth. In between is very difficult. And I'm not sure whose world it is, but it has been shaking to the core through this series of giant earth tremors. Very good. I'm experiencing moments of much longed for expansion, connection and tenderness. I'm also experiencing moments of seemingly overwhelming fear, triggered by these deep eruptions of energy. They have to go together. That's what I'm saying again and again. I remind you all the time. Everything will come up. And because you are mixed up from the start, it can't only be good things. And it can't only be bad things. It has to be both. Because it's mixed. Then first you have to erupt. Then after that, then a new clarity comes. Then you can more sort out things. Then you can have an overview. You can't have an overview when you're mixed up. You are just confused. Like you're sitting on a volcano. How can you keep that under control? It's impossible. So you have to erupt. After that eruption, you see something new. You see how peaceful it is to let go, to fall apart. Then now you have a deeper trust in your heart. You have a deeper understanding. So now with this new consciousness, this new seeing, you can start living in a different way. Now you have not so much energy into fear. Up till now you have spent so much life energy to control the fear, to be so-called normal. So when fear is gone, you have a deeper understanding, you are more settled in your heart, you have more trust, you have more understanding, then you start living in a totally different way. Then all this energy that consciously or unconsciously try to control the fear, the anger, the jealousy, the hate, the comparison, the judgments, all these can start going in new directions. That's the beginning of meditation, not before. Before, maybe therapy. And you have done a lot, haven't you? But this is a different thing. This is not the place of therapy. This is a different energy here. Maybe many things is happening, but here the real heat is on. So even in spite of you feel it or not, you will get cooked. So that's why if you don't want to get cooked and get tender, don't stay, no? This is only for tender people who want to be tender. Love me tender, love me tender. poor Elvis, he didn't get it. He had the voice, but not much more. That's it. So it's all mixed up first, and both has to be brought up. And many times, first is the bliss, because you've been keeping yourself so in control that first, without you knowing, you get very happy, very free, very laughing, very playful. Then when you start getting deeper, then you see that, wow, I have some homework to do. Then maybe more dark things are coming up. That's the test. And if you don't have the connection then, the trust, the awareness, then you can easily give up. That's why it's almost impossible to do that alone. You need something that is pulling you out of the mud. I have even experienced this in your presence. Where else? I bring up everything. The good and the bad. And the homework is to first transform the negativity into the positive. That you can do. You can transform your bad habits, your negative mind, into a positive mind. Then it's much easier to become established more in happiness, in peace. Then you have to go beyond that. Because reality is beyond any opposites. But everybody is in a negative mind. How can they ever change? Then they can read high teaching, Advaita, I am that, there is no separation, I am God. But it's just a mental understanding. You have to, if you want to go up, you have to take the ladder step by step, no? I have even experienced this in your presence. Very good. I sense you are providing the support to allow these all deep energies to surface. Yeah, first we have to bring them up, then I have to bring the support that you can allow it. One thing is to see it, but that can just be negative again. You have to first see it, then you have to help it to get out. You have to open the wound, get out the pus, take off the band-aid, so the sun can heal it, the fresh air. So in that way, all your self-image will go. Because you thought you was like this and like that, and very spiritual, very peaceful, and very goody-goody, new age, goody-goody. And then suddenly, you feel very naughty. You feel very angry. So that's why all these techniques also, when you see it in the right way, you can allow yourself to release all this energy very easily. That's the only reason I have all these meditations and these things, is just to release these things that comes up. When you are at peace, when you are released, when you are in harmony, in balance, then what is the need? There's no need to do anything then. And I long to dissolve the separation that the fear creates between me and you, between me and life. That is the right longing. Because as long as there is any fear, or any mind as such, any ego as such, any you, there will be a separation between me and you. Only a presence can relate to a presence. Only a heart can relate to a heart. If there is a mind, an ego and a heart, then there will be misunderstanding. Sometimes they meet, sometimes they not. If it's in harmony, heart to heart, then both happy, understanding, totally communication. So that is what I call the homework. You have to be responsible to empty yourself so you can become in tune with life, in tune with me, with nothing in between. Otherwise, the projections will always be there. Always the fear will always be there. That is the true longing, to dissolve the separation between me and life, between me and you. Beloved Swat, today when you left the satsang tent, I felt so clearly and so strongly that you are my master, that I could not stop crying of joy and sadness for a long time. For the long time I have spent looking for you. I felt again that being flooded with your unconditional love, that warm and accepting embrace, I surrender to you, to your light, to your joy, to your understanding, to your playfulness. I need you so much. I need your teaching so much. It was amazing for me, feeling that every word you said yesterday was so true to me. It referred exactly to what I am experiencing these days in the Satori washing machine. Darkness and light, love and hate, beauty and horror. Looking at myself in the mirror, I felt such an anger, a rage, the destructive power of violence, the nature of a murderer. It was horrible. Am I also that? Am I ready to accept it? Can I accept that in the togetherness I am feeling so clearly here, there is also space for darkness? How can I surrender to this? Surrendering to you is much easier. With surrendered love, Alexandra. First, Alessandra, you have spent so long time looking for me. Be compassionate to yourself. Be more patient. Don't be in a hurry. You are here now, and it's going very good. You are very happy. You are in the washing machine. It's no problem. And this is what we just talked about also. Everything has to come up. You have to see both sides. Darkness and light, love and hate, beauty and horror. Looking at myself in the mirror, I felt such an anger and rage. The destructive power of violence, the nature of a murderer, it was horrible. Am I also that? Yes. Everybody is, but in the unconsciousness, you have both forces. You have the darkness, you have the destructive, and you have the creative. You have the violence, you have the peace. You have the devil, you have God. Unconsciousness means then you are a slave over the destructive powers, be that in action, in mind, in talking, in doing. But as you go become more aware, it shifts. Because humans have a choice. They can be destructive like Adolf Hitler, or they can be divine like Jesus. Both is there. But at Jesus, all the negative energies is transformed. That is what surrender is. You surrender all the negative. But it has to be seen, because everything is there. That's why people can do murders, violence, horrible things. Because they are unconscious. They are a slave of their instinct. Nobody wants, how can a human being want to murder another human being? But they are not their own master. They haven't seen themselves. They are like a volcano that is suddenly erupting just for a little thing. they can explode. They can be horrible. They can kill you. Because they get angry, because they get hurt, because they get jealous. That is how they are, in their unconsciousness. If you have seen, if you have accepted and transformed these energies, like any frustration, any anger, that's why I have like dynamic. Or this catharsis, you get out that energy. You don't need to hurt anybody, not yourself, not anybody else. But any destructive thing that is hindering you for peace, for silence, for self-realization, for freedom, for love, you throw it out. And when you can feel that murderous instinct in you, that killing instinct, and get it out, and go crazy, then you also feel that power you have, but you transform it. You become your own master, and that is what the sannyasin is. Who is in balance, who accepts both sides, but transforms the negative into the positive. When it is transformed, then darkness is not negative. And the light is not positive, because this is in balance. Light, darkness and light, good and bad, the horrible and the beauty, is only there because you are both, you are in division. When both sides are accepted and transformed, when you are in tune, like yin-yang, everybody have seen this symbol with yin-yang. Half is light, half is dark. Both is needed to make it go around. You have the day, you have the night. People get tired in the day. Then the night comes, oh, how good, I can sleep. And some people sleep more than others, but that is okay. It's very restful. What should we do without the night? But the night is dark. But it's not negative, it's positive, it's beautiful. You need both. Then you are in harmony. It's like that. It's just that you don't know, you haven't explored it. So you should have anger. It's a tremendous power. If you have accepted that, transform it, it will always be when you need to be angry, you're angry, but it's out of consciousness. Not out of your ego, your feelings, your hurt. You need all these energies, that's why they are there, but they are harmonious. If you have some idea that you only have to be goody-goody, then problem, because you have repressed, everybody has repressed so many feelings, so many emotions. So here I want you to explore all this, and it's beautiful because all this comes up. It means that they have been there, but no, they can't be there. No, it comes up. Like I just talked with Satya. It's bound to happen. And you should welcome it because it's just energy. Just in your mind you put the word, oh, it's anger. If you don't have any word on that, it's just pure energy. And when you have transformed that madness, when you can allow yourself to be totally angry, just being responsible for that what you feel, but not putting it on somebody, not yourself either. Just playing with the energy. That's what I mean, go banana if you have anything. Then you get to know that energy, how that feels. Then it's transformed. Then you know it's there. If you don't know, then you always want to keep it in control. Then it can come up. That's how people get murderous and into the violence. Nobody wants to be violent in their nature. Everybody wants to have peace. Then why does people go to war? Why do they kill each other? Because they are unconscious. When you become conscious, it's impossible. then, like they say in the Gita, even if you kill is not bad, because you only kill when it's needed. That's what Krishna says. You're not involved. It's nothing, a personal thing. But if somebody is coming with a big axe and going to kill your little child or your mother, you kill him. There's no thinking involved. This is a madman. But it's out of the action. It's not out of anger. It's not out of any emotion. It's in a totally different plane. Then Krishna says, in that is no karma, because you are not involved. You are just responding. Like you're getting a mosquito on your nose and you do this. That's how the samurais were trained. That's why they were so good, because it was no emotions. They were totally still. They were totally centered. And when two masters meet like that, then it's almost impossible that the fight starts. Because there is no emotion, there is no anger. But you are totally ready. Then you just stop and watch who is going to move first. Maybe nobody moves, and then after 1 hour standing there, staring at each other, totally ready, okay, let's go and have some tea. You have to be angry to start. You have to be out of balance to start. So it's good that these things come up, because then you see it. Am I also that? Yeah, you are everything. You are yin and yang. You are the alpha and omega. You are female and male. You have the darkness and you have the light. But when that is in harmony, it's not against each other. They balance each other. It becomes harmonious. But that can only be lived when you are in harmony, when you have explored and befriended all the energies in you. That is self-knowledge. That is self-realization. Then you have seen all the sides, everything accepted. The whole family is in tune. There is peace in the home. So just play with it. And if you feel that, then just get it out in dynamic or in the screaming or in the dancing. Just play with the different energies. Everything has to come up. Especially everything that has been repressed. Because you have to. Coming close to me means that you have to look at yourself. And that's what you are longing for. You are longing to be in harmony, in balance. You are longing for peace. The only way is then that is the harmony inside, that you have accepted and understood all different sides of yourself. How can I surrender to this? You don't need to surrender, you just see. Surrendering to you is much easier. Then go the easy way. I'm all for easy. And surrendering to me, then this is much easier to understand also. Then you have the cake and eat it too. The tiramisu is very nice. This is not an, ordinary ashram that you're just going to sit and chant Aum. No, no. Because you sit on all the shit. I want all the shit to get off. The sooner the better. And then real peace comes. Then real understanding. Then real transformation. They have these stories in India, this famous yogi. He's been 12 years in the Himalayas in a silent retreat, and then they have the big Kumbh Mela that they have every 12 years there. They come from far and they have all the sadhus. It's the biggest gathering on the planet. Then he comes down there and he's all untouchable, there's totally nothing is disturbing him. And then the first guy who steps him on the toe, he totally go crazy. You're stepping me on the toe, I'm a great yogi. He could kill you. Just one instance with human beings, then he freaks out, no? You should, he should do dynamic, no problem. You can even fool yourself, but you can't so easily fool others. Gautama, you've been writing such a long letter. Too long, no? Should we make it a little shorter?
Yeah.
Okay. Beloved Master Swaha, my first retreat, the Blissful Spring, gave me a lot of insights. The satsangs were incredible. I felt really at home. So many beautiful things had happened. You are at home, and I'm happy, Gautama, that now you have accepted it also. You have seen that. You are at home. And nothing is better to be at home when you've been away from home a long time. It's very good. Then I went back home. No, home, that he means to Holland. That's always, in the beginning, it is a little confusing. You have the home that gives you peace, wisdom, silence, and then you have another home, the disturbing one. That's the thing. You will always be challenged in the beginning, because what is then? Where do you want to live? Then I went back home. When I was busy with my daily life, working, arranging everything, the energy and awareness went so low. I remembered again your answer about meditation. I started again bringing more effort into my meditation. I went to the park on the weekends and started doing meditation. But it's very important, in the beginning, you should meditate every day, because that becomes part of your schedule then. Like you having breakfast or lunch or taking your shower, you should have a meditation that you like, that is easy for you. That's why also I give you many meditations to play with. Take one meditation that works. If that is sitting silently or humming or dancing or kundalini or whatever it is, you do that. Because then it becomes part of your schedule. And you give that to your unconsciousness, that I want to meditate, I want to have peace. So that is very important. Because the test is always, and now when you came here, the satsang were incredible, I felt really at home, so many beautiful things happened. And then you go back to the old. Then it's like this, and then poof, everything is grey. So it's very difficult to have that. So it's important in the beginning that you really meditate. You do a meditation that you feel brings you back to that space. Then you get more clarity to deal with these ordinary things in your life. It's very difficult to wake up if you are with sleepy people. How can you wake up? Because you also have a sleepiness. Everybody brings a sleepiness. Here is easy. If you want to wake up, it's very easy. I stare that side of you that wants to awaken. So then you go high. But the challenge is always when you go back, because the old, everybody look at you the old way. And you are new. You have felt something new. And you want to live that new. But there's no support for it. That's why it's important to come, to become steady. And if you don't have the opportunity to come here as much as possible when there is retreat, then you have to meditate at home. Be very steady in it. Buddha said that the worst thing for a sannyasin, for anybody who wants to be awakened, to wake up, is to be with unconscious people, with sleepy people. Huh? How can you wake up then? Then, very lucky are those who find other people. Other people who wants to wake up. Other black sheeps. Then the fun starts. No, you have fellow travelers. Much easier. And you're riding more a wave. That is what is here when we do many meditations together. Then it's much more easy. You just start and it takes off. Then much better than that, if you have a master, a guru. That is what the Sangha is. Then it's very easy. Then you have this boat that can take you over the ocean of samsara, of illusions, of the mundane. That's very difficult alone. Then you said you had some great insights. I understand Osho who said that you have to see the gaps between the thoughts. Yeah, what is in the between the thoughts? That's the whole mystery. If you can stay there, you're safe. Or you stay here, you're also safe. No, the ego is in a difficulty. He has been exposed. No, I don't believe him anymore. Yeah, then it's a new beginning now. No, you have seen the ugly face of the ego now. No, you don't believe it. Then you have to have awareness, because the habit of the ego is that in your unconsciousness before, he could intrude any time. He just open the door and go in. Even if you sit meditating. He has no manners, this motherfucker. Nothing. No, you have seen. No, you have an awareness. You have seen this ugly face that you have exposed himself. No, I don't believe him anymore. Then you have to be on guard, because he will still, out of old habit. Gautama always allowed me in. He didn't say anything. No, you have to be alert when he comes. Turn your back. Just turn your back, very arrogant. Then he will be in shock. My God, I could always come and just whenever he wants, even if he was meditating, I just come. And so you have to be very strict with him. This is the only way. Slowly, slowly, then he will come up with all stories. But you are my old friend. I've been with you for so many lives. Please be a little compassionate with me. At least look at me. And you have to say, no. No. But Gautama, you are such a nice man and soft. Don't you have any heart? Please look, I want to tell you so many important things. I have so much gossip to tell you that can disturb your meditation. And you have to say, no. I'm meditating. I take no notice in anything. Nothing, whatever you say, whatever you come up with, I'm not one to get disturbed by you. You are ugly. Then he will get shocked. Slowly, slowly he gets the message. It might take time, you have to be steady. But he will try. No, I don't believe him anymore. Okay, so if you see that people are just lying, you don't believe them, they are ugly, then don't hang out with them then. It all has to do with the trust in the Master and my understanding. Now the inner Master has risen because of the outer Master. It goes together. The outer Master is there to wake up your inner Master. But the inner Master is very difficult to listen to because you are so used to listen to the mind. You have to be very steady to listen. You have to be very silent. You have to be very centered. You have to be really true, focused on this only. Not like anything from the mind or emotions or past or future disturb you. Only then can you listen. That's the whole thing the outer Master wants to wake up the inner Master. You say, yesterday I also got two satoris. Don't use this word satori so easy. Because one satori can transform your whole life. Maybe insights. One satori got sabotaged by the ego. No satori can get sabotaged. When you are in satori, everything gone. Ego is far gone. Even if you look for it, you can't find it. That's what satori is. No. Maybe an insight. And another satori or insight, that's what? Use more insight. Satori is very powerful. Nothing can get disturbed in satori. You are gone. Satori means you are gone then. When you are on the moon, like this, people go to the moon, no? And you are on the moon, they are amazed. They look down on planet Earth. Then how can your mama come to you then? It's like that. No way, impossible. You're gone. Gata-gata, paragata, paragata, samgata, bodhisvaha, boof. Nothing can disturb. Mimes, satori, like you come back again, then the mind can come also. And the mind will come because you have gone very high. But in the satori itself, that is the same as self-realization, as enlightenment. It is a glimpse. I was foolish and thought that satori was an ultimate realization. Yes. But that is okay. We are all foolish. And that is also natural because in the satori you are realized. But when you come back, you are not. So this is right. I was foolish and thought that satori was an ultimate realization. In short, no, I really have to let it sink in that I must not grab on to the satori experiences. I only have to remember the truth and all the unreal will fall away. Yeah, you can't hold on to anything. But no, you know that is what the satori is. You have had a clear insight of how things are, that you are not the mind, you are not the ego. You have seen the ego on the distance. No, it changed everything. No, you have to be steady in that. Don't get disturbed. Always come back to the moment, to yourself, to the presence. More than ever, it's important to be steady. Because you know, you know. It is not just remembering and understanding that happens only in the moment, in the now. I realize that what we only have is the now, the eternal now. All experiences are from the past. The truth is always here, present and available. Finally, I can see what is real and what is not. I am very grateful for your guidance, your trust and your love. That was the final push that I needed so much. Now I know I am a Buddha and we all are Buddhas. It is all about trust. You said it very beautifully, no doubt. It is only about trust. And that trust is going to challenge you to see if you are steady in your seeing, in your realization. You have to take good care of it. You have to become steady, unshakable, like a mountain. Because the mind is a very ancient habit. The new is very new. That's why you have to be very steady. You have to be very devoted, very surrendered, that I want this, I want to be steady, I want to be free. I don't want to see that ugly face of the ego. I want to live in clarity, in trust, in love. That's the whole thing. Don't let anything disturb you from the past. And then something magical happens. The more and more steady and the more and more devoted, then you become stronger in that. But you have to show it to yourself. I have now also some questions. You ask many questions. Can we take them later?
Yeah.
Is it okay now?
Yeah.
Okay, I can take one. Why does Buddha say about the Bodhisattva that he, she will wait before the gate of Nirvana till all beings are enlightened? Because the Buddha, the ultimate, is compassion, no? Out of self-realization, out of love. Love in this flowering is compassion. So that is the saying that he will wait at the gate till everybody is enlightened. He don't use the opportunity, I'm enlightened and I disappear. No, he will help others. That is the meaning of Bodhisattva. It's just to show that the Buddha's teaching is compassion. Compassion for all living things, all living beings. And when you are enlightened, who cares where you are? If you wait inside or outside, I wait. If you can help somebody, then you wait outside. That is compassion, that is the meaning. When do you know that you are on the right path and going in the right direction? When these things are happening, which is happening now. That you feel inside, you feel awakening, you feel love, you feel trust, you feel a lightness. That's when you know. You can know it, but your whole body knows it. It's a totality. That is real knowledge, real wisdom. It's not an intellectual thing. Everything knows it, your whole energy knows it. This is it. It tastes good. I feel good. I see more clear. I have more peace. Yes? in fact, when you are on the right track or coming closer, then the mind many times comes up with many reasons why not to go there, because it will be transformation for the mind. You have to feel deeper into your very core, into your heart, into your body, into your being. Only then you will know that this feels good. I feel peace. I feel waking up. This is the science. But now, over to more important things. Beloved Baba, I want to share a joke with you. It goes like this. Love is like a fart. If you have to force it, it's probably shit. P.S. Thank you so much for showing us how to live this divine and beautiful life. I love you, Jivana. He he he. Very good. The words of wisdom from my Jivana. This is almost like a Zen Sutra. This is from my Zen monks, or nun, I would rather say. Love is like a fart. But if you have to force it, it's probably shit. So true, so true, my dear. And I want to support everything that is truthful. I always want you to be clear. And you are young, so you can save yourself by a lot seeing things as they are, or if you have to force it. Forcing, no good. Let everything happen organically. Forcing is not needed in life. Just go with the flow. Be straight, Jivana, always. Then you will save you a lot of problems and a lot of forcing boyfriend also. Like, when he says, can I buy you a drink? Then she says, actually, I'd rather have the money. And when he says, oh, I'm a photographer. I've been looking for such a sweet face as yours. And she says, I'm a plastic surgeon, and I've been looking for a face like yours. Just be straight from the very beginning. When he says, want to be sweet with you, or your face must turn a few heads, and she says, and your face must turn a few stomachs. And he says, how do you like your eggs in the morning? She says, unfertilized. Just be straight. and it will save you a lot of problems. When he says, I'm trying again, didn't we go on a date once? Or maybe it was twice? Then you say, must have been once, I never make the same mistake twice. Good luck to you. May everybody be straight, so you don't get in any foul-smelling situation. Aum Shanti. We don't like any foul smell here, in our outer. Smell the flowers. And if you fart, just let it come organically. Never force. Except if you have a hard stomach. Or take a trip to India, because there you get Bombay belly. And no forcing is needed. It just comes and it comes all the time. With no effort. Total open, effortlessly. We like the effortless way.